Matthew chapter 4. Last week we started a series which will be called Back to the Basics. Back to the Basics. And last week we were talking about salvation. There's a clear scripture that says, what must I do to be saved? And we used that as a launching point to go through to explain salvation, the basics of salvation. Salvation is simple. Any single person can be saved. Amen. If they're of clarity of mind, of age, we don't know what that age would be, but baby, they're not of age yet. They don't understand sin and everything, but ultimately they can be saved. Amen. And then this week, as we go a little bit further, amen. See a little chilly? Are they a little cold? Amen. Yeah, well, I get it all the time from my wife, too, so I'm just teasing him there. Usually it's me saying it. Debbie will say something to me, and I'll be like, what? What did you say? I can't hear you. Amen. And then usually when she leaves, I say, I got all that shopping trip. Amen. I'm just joking. Amen. What's that? I'm just joking. Amen. I love being with my wife. She's wonderful. I really do. I love her. She's definitely my best friend. And I love her so. But Matthew chapter 4, what we're going to do this week, starting this week, we're talking about back to the basics. We talked about salvation this last week. This week we're going to talk about the Word of God. Because the reality is, if we didn't have the Word of God, what would we believe in? How would we know what's true? How would we know what salvation is? And we're going to take maybe a couple weeks to go through this, be very thorough, talk about God's Word. We're going to talk about inspiration. What does that mean? We're going to talk about if God would allow today, the Bible proves. How do you know for sure that this is the very words of God? We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about, if God would tarry, some of the things that are mentioned in the Bible that was founded, it was mentioned in the book of Job. Now, Job, it looks like Job, but it's really Job. But in the book of Job, that were mentioned that ultimately, later on, that was over thousands of years later, the scientists figured it out. So you'll see that. How is that possible? Unless this is the very words of God. Amen. So we're talking about back to the basics. We're speaking about God's Word. You're in Matthew chapter 4. If you're able to stand, if you could please stand, just out of reading the Word of God. Excuse me. The Bible says here in verse 1, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterwards hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things I will give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for another wonderful day that you have granted us. And Lord, thank you for that. As we're getting ready to get closer to spring, Lord, what a wonderful, beautiful day that you have given us. And the truth is, Lord, even if it was filled with rain and snow, thundering and lightning, you're still good. And we thank you for everything that you have done and how you watch over us. I pray that you would just bless this message this morning and you would use it for the furtherance of the gospel, that you would encourage Christians, draw those that don't know you to you, help the boys and girls to learn from the lessons downstairs. And Lord, I pray that if you would tarry, be with the fellowship in the afternoon service. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. I'll grab a little water here. So we're talking about God's Word. But you'll see in this small portion of Scripture, when the devil tempted him, God responded. We know our Lord Jesus Christ, He was God in the flesh. He responded with, we'll see in verse 4, we see in verse 7, we see in verse 10, He says, "It is written." Our God of heaven, every single word that Jesus Christ said, if you think about it, was the Word of God. Because He's God, amen? And what He did was, He used the actual Scriptures, which was His Word from the Old Testament, and ultimately used that to ultimately show us as Christians how we can ultimately live a victorious Christian life when the tempter, the devil, comes and tries to tempt us with things. But we can see here, He said, "It is written." Ultimately, He called it what it is at the end of verse 4. But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, what is it? God's Word. I want you to understand what you have in your hands today. If you have a Bible, and if English-speaking people, a King James Bible, what you have is the very words of God. I want you to understand there's no errors that you'll find in this Bible. You won't. Only error you will ever find is if you mark your Bible and you put in a mess, something there. A lot of times what I do in my Bible, I put little notes. You probably can't see it. I put little notes there, a little cross-reference. The only error you'll ever find would be the cross-reference that maybe you could put. Even though you have a King James Bible, again, no errors in that Bible. If you have one that has commentary, commentary is not God's Word. I have a Scofield Bible. I like my Scofield Bible. But He is not God. His Word is not God. And there's times where even in the Scofield Bible, again, not the very words of God, but His commentary, where I may put an X through it because it's not true, right? But God's Word, you'll never find an error. At the beginning of a passage, in the beginning, amen, from the book of Genesis, the whole way to the book of Revelation, to the last word that says, amen, you will not find an error anywhere in those words. I don't know how many words for sure it is. I think one time I heard someone say over a million something words. There is no errors. There's not even a single error that's in our Bible. It's God's Word. How is that possible? Well, that's what we're going to do this series on the next week or couple weeks, talking about the Word of God. I want you to think of the first thing is the reason why this Bible is so special is because it's God's Word. But I want you to think about when you think of the Bible is inspiration. Look over here. You'll see what I mean. Turn over here to 2 Timothy and 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're talking about God's Word. What you think about the first thing is the inspiration. What do I mean by that? That means God breathed. Amen? It is God's breathed. Amen? It's God's Word. Look what the Bible says here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 16. All Scripture. Now, I know all of us are smart people. We understand this. But all means all. And that's all means. Amen? All Scripture. You know what that means? Every single word that's in this Bible, all Scripture, is given by inspiration of God. The word inspiration means God breathed. It was God who gave it. Amen? It wasn't some people saying, let me write something up here. No, this Bible is God breathed, inspiration. And what is it for? It says it's profitable for doctrine. How are you going to know what you believe? It's amazing today, and especially when you think of politicians. Sometimes it seems like politicians, you put your finger up in the air and they see what side the people are going on. People are on this way, that's what I like. People are on this way, that's what I like. I'm glad God's Word is settled. Amen. It's not a population vote. Amen. It's not majority rules. God's Word is settled, forever settled in heaven. God said it. It's simple. Amen. We just believe it. But it's for doctrine. What we believe should be based on this Bible. For reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That's what the Bible is. It's God's proof. It's the very words of God. Did you ever think about that, how powerful that is? When Debbie and I were
courting and we were engaged. I remember Debbie would write me letters, little love letters. Amen. Even while we were courting, she would write me little letters. And I had at that time my Grand Am, my 2000 Grand Am. That was the only new car I ever bought. It had, I think, maybe 8-9 miles on it when I bought it. And I loved that car. That was a great car and worked very well. But as you get older, sometimes it's not as practical. You need something a little bit different to carry more people and et cetera. I'm saying all that because I miss my car. Amen. You ever see those commercials where you have the guy that's on the commercial and you see him with this convertible or whatever? You're going to see me when I'm 80 years old driving that blue Grand Am again. Amen. It'll be a classic by that time. I don't even think any of those things will be running by that time. Amen. They'll all probably be gone. Amen. But anyway, what was I saying? Oh, here's the reason. I was telling you about that Grand Am. I'm not saying that so you could buy me one. Amen. Your Matchbox car. Amen. That'd be fine. But in my glove compartment, it was right beside, well, I guess it was right beside my seat. If I opened it up, I put all those little notes that Debbie gave to me because they meant something to me. Even when we got rid of my car and I cried for like 2 weeks straight. Amen. I'm joking. I opened that up. And you know what I did? There was a pack of those notes that she had and I took them. Because they meant something to me. And sometimes I was at work and where I was working my lunch, I didn't want to sit in the lunchroom. Usually I'd go outside and get some fresh air sitting in the car. And sometimes I may just open them up and just look at them, read them. You may say, wow, that's because I loved her. Amen. And I still do. Amen. And I appreciate those notes that she would write in there. I think one time I got up to preach and she had a little note that was in the Bible, if I remember correctly, that was there. Something like, I love you. Amen. And it means something. Amen. I want you to understand, when you think about this Bible that's here, this is God's love letter to you. This Bible should mean something. It was God breathed. God saying, hey, this is what you need to know that's going to help you in your life for you to have salvation. It's all right here. God breathed. It wasn't some man that said, what are we going to write? You know, there are false Bibles out there, perversions, as I would call them, that are out there, where it's people's opinions where they write into these Bibles. Any Bible that's not the King James, if you're English-speaking people, they're perversions. We'll get into that in the next few weeks, how you can see it with your own eyes. Remember a time I was teaching boys and girls, they're real young, and I showed them from the Scripture. If you had a Bible that goes from verse 10 to verse 12, you would say there's something wrong in that, right? 10, 11, 12. When I was 5 years old, before I could get into kindergarten, I remember I had to count from to 1 to 100. And, you know, if I skipped something, that wasn't okay. They'd tell me, hey, you have to make sure you count. You know, there are Bibles out there today, like the NIV Bible. We'll go from verse 10 to verse 12. It is, amen. If you don't believe me, come in the next couple of weeks. But also, you can look at Matthew chapter 18, I think verse 11, I think it is. If you try to find verse 11, I think it's verse 11. 10, 11, or 12, it's one of those verses. You won't find it. It skips it. As a matter of fact, and again, I'm giving you my ammo for the next couple of weeks. The NIV Bible, just for example, takes out all, similar to the verses of the Bible, all the words of 1 Peter. Can you imagine having a Bible and 1 Peter being gone? That's what the newer translations do. They take away God's Word. But that's in a few weeks. Let's get your appetite ready for that. But we can see, what is it? This is God's Word. Look what the Bible says over here in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah 59. In Isaiah 59, we're talking about God's Word. We're talking about the inspiration. What does that mean? God's breath. Isaiah 59, verse 20. Is that what you're looking for? You're shaking. Isaiah 59 and verse 20. Isaiah chapter 59. Look here at verse 20. Isaiah, it's Old Testament, chapter 59. Look here at verse 20 and 21. It says, the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord.
As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. Who said this? This is God. My spirit which is upon me, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. There's a couple things you could see in that verse. There's a lot of things you could probably see in that verse. But I want you to focus on two things. One thing is this. You can see what the inspiration was. What did God say? It was His words that He put in what? The prophet's mouth. It wasn't the prophet's words. It was God that told Isaiah what to write. And then what you could also see, which we'll get into in a couple weeks, or maybe next week, it says the preservation. Amen? Where it says, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. What's God saying? My word will always be here. Will never leave. Amen? You think about it, that's preservation, amen? Inspiration is God's breathing, is God's actual word. Preservation is God saying that He was going to preserve His word. Matter of fact, if you think about it, Jesus Christ didn't have the actual words of God at that time, He would have never said, it is written. Why did He say it was written? Because people could go to it, amen? It is written, it's there, it's recorded, people could refer to it. And we could see here, it's inspiration. What is it? God breathed. Look at the Bible says over here in 1 Peter. Second Peter chapter 1. Again, we're talking about the Word of God. It's God's Word, His actual words. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look down here at verse 20 and verse 21. In 2 Peter chapter 1, look here at verse 20 and verse 21. Bible says this, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but by holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Again, what you can see is inspiration. How can you see it? Well, it tells you here, it wasn't man's will to do this. It wasn't man's words. What was it? It was God's word. The Holy Spirit put it in their heart to say those words, to write it down. But you can see that. It's very clear. Inspiration. No private interpretation. It wasn't Eugene and I sitting down and saying, how can we get a scheme here to make sure that we can do something, you know? It wasn't. Amen? No private interpretation. That doesn't mean that I'm the only person that understands the Bible. No. You all can understand. Amen? Every single person can understand this Bible. Amen? The reason why people don't understand it, it could be because of sin. And a lot of times it's because they don't know God. Amen? If you're not saved, this Bible is not going to come alive to you. Amen? Won't make sense to you. That doesn't mean you will understand everything. Amen? But it will speak to your heart. No private interpretation. You know, there's people out there today that will teach and say, you do not need your Bible because you're not smart enough to understand it. That's not what this Bible teaches. Matter of fact, you know what the Bible really teaches? The truth is, God wants people to read. He does. Amen? Be able to listen. Why? Because He wants you to understand His Word. One of the first things when America's society, when they were coming over, before we became a nation, when they still had colonies. And at those times, you know what they did in those colonies? They made sure, they said, it's very important that we have our young people to read. Why did they want them to read? You go back and look in history. It's because they wanted them to know the Bible for themselves. You have to remember what they just came out of. They came out of a situation. They wanted religious freedom. Right, amen? Amen? Freedom of religion. Amen? It's not just, was it freedom of worship? I think that's what they push. It's freedom of religion. Now, freedom of worship is they try to put you in a box saying the only time you can be, quote unquote, the worship is in church. But when you leave the church, that's what they don't like. It's freedom of religion. That means you live for God everywhere. Amen? And that's what they came out of. They came out of a place where dictated to them and said, hey, this is what you're going to believe. And they don't like it. Well, throw you into prison. And even when America's society first started, they threw people into prison because, again, we were still under their rule while we were here. But they still wanted them to learn how to read.
Amen?
No private interpretation. I look at the Bible says over here in the book of Revelation. In Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. We're talking about God's Word. We're talking about how His inspiration, God breathed. Look what the Bible says here in Revelation chapter 1. In Revelation chapter 1. Revelation's last book of the Bible. Chapter 1. Look here at verse 1. The Bible says this. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. Who was it? It was God. Amen. Inspiration. To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and sanctified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God. What is it? It's God's word. And the testimony of Jesus Christ in all things that he saw. Blessed he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. And ultimately speaks of, ultimately, what's going to be coming, which we could see the rapture of the church is upon us. Amen? We don't know the day or the hour. But we could see, what was it? Inspiration God gave. What else we see? That it was the very words of God. If you have a Bible concordance, and we're pretty fortunate in the day and age that we live in, I always hear people saying, I wish I lived back in the 1800s. And I try to remind them, well, if you live back in the 1800s, don't you remember there were outhouses? Amen. And I don't know about you, but I can't imagine having an outhouse up here when it's minus 40-some degrees. Amen. But outhouses, amen. I try to remind people there's some things. Electricity. I like electricity. I do. Amen. And I like the idea I can go to a microwave, I can put a can of soup in there, may not be good for me, it's probably going to clog up my arteries or something like that, but I can put it in the microwave, hit a button, and a minute later, and it's done, amen? I like the idea that I can call on the phone or get on the internet. I like the technology we have. My wife gets on the internet for a Pizza Hut. She types some things in there, and next thing you know, we go to Pizza Hut, and it's all ready for us, amen? I love the conveniences that we have in this society, amen, at this time. I don't like the sin, but I like the convenience. But ultimately, what we do know is this. We have the very words of God. And if you, since we have these conveniences, there's Bible programs that are out there. And if you go in and you could do a search, you even have a book that's out there, Strong's Concordance. You can look it up. But if you did a search and you put in this actual saying, "Thus saith the Lord," you'll find over 413 verses in the Bible that says, "Thus saith the Lord." Why? Because it's God's Word. If you do a search, it says, "the Word of God," you'll find at least 45 verses that says that. If you do a search, it says, "the Lord said." You'll find over 219 verses. If you do a search, it says, "the Word of God." Again, that actual search or phrase that's there. You'll find over 255 verses. Why? Because this is the very words of God. An example would be, in Exodus 34, verse 27, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, write thou these words." You can find another reference that God told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 36:2, "Take thou a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken against thee, spoken unto thee against Israel." In Ezekiel 1:3, you'll find it says, "The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest." What was it? It's God breathed. You'll find in Acts 1:16 it says, "Men and brother, this scripture must needs to have been fulfilled with the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas." You go to other places in Hebrews 1:1 it says, "God who had sundried times and diverse matters spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets." Other verses in Matthew 2:15 it says, and was there until the death of Herod that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophets. You can go to other verses, what you'll find is they spoke the words that God told them. Amen. During this time of season, during politicians and getting ready, spokespeople are supposed to do is they're supposed to speak for the people they represent.
They get up there and they try to defend them or whatever it was that's there. If you don't like politics, probably you're better off. Amen. Sometimes it just gets under your skin. But whatever, they're supposed to be spokespeople. Amen. And they're not supposed to give their opinion. When the press secretary gets up that we have for President Barack Obama, when he gets up there, he's not giving his opinion. What he's supposed to do is they ask questions, and he's supposed to give a response that President Obama told him. That's there. And a lot of times if I was there, I'd raise my hand and say, liar, amen. But that's just me, amen. They kicked me out of there. They probably wouldn't let me get in there when I got in there, amen. But what I'm saying is, what he's supposed to do is he's supposed to represent the person. And ultimately what these prophets did is they told them the very words of God. They wrote down the very words of God. See, the reality is, we know that we have the Word of God. God said it. You may say, well, how else? I'd like to know more. Well, look what the Bible says over here in the book of Luke. And look here in the book of Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Look here, Luke chapter 24. I want you to think about this. In Luke chapter 24, down here at verse 25. I want you to think about the Bible proof. Not only the Bible proof, but the Bible accuracy. There's things that's in this Bible that no other book in the world could ever say it has. Fulfilled prophecy. Accuracy. You'll never find an error. The Bible says, I want you to see there, in Luke chapter 24 and verse 25, the Bible says, as after our Lord died on the cross, which was prophesied, and He rose again, which was prophesied. Look what He said here in verse 25. Luke chapter 24, verse 25. Then He said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe what? All that the prophets have spoken. Why were they slow of heart? Because at that time, remember, when they met Jesus, and Jesus was in another form to them, they didn't put everything two and two together that He arose from the grave. And they just didn't believe it. And that's what He was saying. And He goes on and says in verse 26, it says, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into His glory? Verse 27, and beginning at Moses, that would be the first books of the Bible, not called Moses, but it was written by Moses, and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself. So think about it. This was written around, this time frame was around 33 A.D. This is after our Lord was already born into this world, lived on this world for 30-plus years, died on the cross, rose again. Amen? That's when this was written. And what did He expound to them? The Old Testament Scriptures. What was that? The prophecies. The things that was written about Jesus Christ that actually came about. I want you to think about how powerful that is. Think about it. Here's a Bible that wrote in Scripture that says, this is what's going to happen. What are some of the things that are written in the Old Testament about the prophecies of Christ? Well, one is the time of His birth. In the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25, if you want to, turn over here, I'll show you one. Daniel chapter 9, Old Testament, Ezekiel, Daniel. In Daniel chapter 9, in Daniel chapter 9, in Daniel chapter 9, look down here at verse 25 and verse 26. Think about it. This was written, this timing was about 538 B.C. before Jesus Christ was born into this world. Amen. Comes from heaven, born into the world. Over 500 years beforehand. Right? So think about that. It says this in verse 25, Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah. This is saying that when there would be a decree that would be made. I think it was this King Cyprus that made that decree. It says, the prince shall be 12 weeks and 62 weeks. And the streets shall be built again in the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall the Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come
prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So you can read there verse 25 and 26, what do you see? It talks about when he would actually be born into this world, and then what it say? It said he would die on the cross for our sins. Matter of fact, what it also says, it talks about Israel, how Israel would be invaded and ultimately be overcome. In the book of Matthew, even has another reference about Israel and how in Jerusalem there wouldn't be one stone upon itself. Now, thinking about that, who was it that came? It was Romans. The Romans came in and ultimately took the Jewish people captive. When did they do that? 70 A.D. And ultimately they... I say bulldoze, but they didn't have bulldozers back at that time. But they went in and plowed up the ground that there was not one stone that was upon another. It wasn't the Jewish people who did that. It was the Romans. Think about it. God's word was already written. As a matter of fact, you may say, how do you know that the Antichrist is going to be from Rome? Well, because it's right here. Amen. Who was it that invaded Jerusalem and did this? It was a Roman. Amen. So how do we know? Well, the Bible says Rome. Amen. But ultimately, think about his birth. The timing of his birth. The place. In Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, it talks about Bethlehem. When Jesus was born, think about it. It was written hundreds of years before he was born. And it says the timing, and then it says the actual place. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, it says what? And behold, a virgin shall bear a son. And you think about it, over 2,000 and almost 15 years ago, 16 years ago, you think about Mary gave birth to a son, being virgin born. I want you to think about it. These were prophecies that was there. Look here in the book of Isaiah. I'll show you a few others. Look here in the book of Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah, the timing of this was about 712 B.C. You know what's interesting? Jewish people, you know Jewish people, unless they're saved, they do not believe Jesus Christ is the Messiah. They don't, right? But you can, you know what you can find? You can find Jewish people that still believe in the Old Testament. They stand by the Old Testament, right? Now, there's some that just go to the first five books of the Bible, but others will go with the Old Testament. So think about it. They would say, yes, these verses are right. We just don't believe in the New Testament. If they would really read this, they would understand, wow, this is a prophecy of Christ. But look what it says here in Isaiah. Actually, look back here to chapter 52 and verse 13. This speaks of Christ. It says, behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. And many shall be astonished at thee. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. Why? When he dies on the cross. Isaiah 52 and verse 14. And many shall be astonished at thee. His visage so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man. What's that mean? They were going to beat him. And you remember in the Gospels you read what happened? They beat him. It goes on and says, look down here, we'll go into verse 1 of chapter 53. It says, who hath believed their report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, speaks of Jesus Christ, as he was born as a child. There's a movie out there saying the teenage years of Christ. Don't watch that. That they have no clue what was there. Amen. Our Lord did not have long hair. And it says, and of a root out of a dry ground, he has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was just a normal Jewish boy. You know, he wasn't as in looking, you know, pretty or whatever you would say, amen, handsome. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Who's this speaks of? Jesus Christ. Who was it that despised and read through? Remember his disciples when they came to the garden and they said, who seek thee? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He says, I am he. And what happened? Those people fell backwards and they got up and he said, let them depart. What happened? Those disciples took off. What did they do? They forsook him. He was despised and rejected. You go through scripture and what do they talk about? How his garments, they would take his garments. I forget what it was, what was the verses.
the text said, but he was betrayed by a friend. You know that was prophesied in the Bible? Do you know that they talked about his crucifixion, how he would die? Now, can you imagine that? Something being written over 1,000 years ago that talks about one time it said the time of his birth. It said the place of his birth, how he would be born. It talked about the lineage of where he would come in. It talked about how he would die. It talked about the people he was around would leave him. It talked about ultimately the last words when he was on the cross. He would say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That was written over 1,000 years ago. How is that possible? Because it's the very words of God. Do you know this Bible wasn't all written at one time? It was written over, I think it was over 40 different authors over a period of over 1,600 years. Now think about that. Now if Eugene and I got together, the reality is, think about this. We sat down, we wrote something, we'll write the book of Genesis, and we wrote this. Think about it. 1,600 years, there would have to be someone else to come along and say, we're going to have to write something else down here. Over 1,600 years. Some of these people have never met each other. But you'll never find a contradiction in this book. Every single thing does what? It points right to Jesus Christ. You go through and you think of other prophecies. It talks about how he would heal people. It talked about his rejection. It talked about when he would enter into Jerusalem. Remember when he entered into Jerusalem? What they said is that, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That was prophesied. It prophesied that he would be mocked. He prophesied that there would be people when he was dying, staring and sitting at him when he was dying. It prophesied that soldiers would be casting lots for his garments. It prophesied that his bones would not be broken. It prophesied that he would be buried in a rich man's tomb. It prophesied that he would raise from the dead. There's a professor, which is not me, amen, professor Peter Stoner. I don't know who he is, but he's probably definitely a smarter man than I am in math. He took the prophecies of Christ. I'm just going to take what they say here. There's over 456 prophecies. We went through and I mentioned about 20 of them, right? 456 prophecies. This professor took the 8 of them. Just 8 of those prophecies that were written before that the Jewish people would look at and say, yes, we can tell you that is the Word of God. We're not going to go with the New Testament. But think about it. This was written over thousands of years ago. This professor, Peter Stoner, took the profitability of just 8 of those prophecies coming true. And out of those, he said the probability would be 1 in 10 to the 17th power. What does that mean? I thought the same thing. That's a bunch of zeros. But he tried to put it into, I would say, my language. Amen. You ever go to the doctor and you sit down and they start talking to you? And they mention this name that's like this long. Amen. That's why I can never be a doctor. Amen. If it's not 2 syllables, I struggle. Amen. They give you this thing that you have that's like this long. And you look at them, and sometimes I'll look at my doctor and say, doctor, you know, can you speak my language? What does that mean? You know, oh, you have heartburn. Why'd you just say I have heartburn, you know? Why'd you just give me like a heart attack, amen? You want more of my money or whatever. But he put this in our language. So this is what he said. I'm just going to quote it. He says, what does this mean? It says, since we are not used to dealing with figures like that, he tried to make it simple for us by saying that if you were to take a silver dollar, one time they make a silver dollars, you may still have them, and it says, and you put it with enough silver dollars to cover the entire state of Texas with silver dollars 2 feet thick. So think about that. Imagine how big Texas is. Texas is a huge state. And what they're saying is you take these silver dollars and you go through the whole state of Texas and you fill Texas up with 2 feet of silver dollars. I'm going with a U-Haul truck down to Texas, amen, and loading that thing up, amen. And we'll have fun on the way back, amen, with all those silver dollars. But that's what he was saying. And then he said this. Then have a blind man walk around the state, back and forth, down and up, every which way for thousands of miles until he finally decides to pick up at the place of his choice, reach down and dig around in the silver dollars and pull one out. So what he's saying is you take the whole state of Texas, just for 8 prophecies, and you fill that whole state up with 2
feet of silver dollars. And then you take one silver dollar and you mark it all up. And you take that silver dollar and you take it out there and you put it wherever you want it, anywhere in Texas, any place that down at the ground, 1 inch, 2 inch, all the way up to 24 inches, anywhere within that 2 feet, within Texas. Then they said you take a blind man and you tell that blind man, you put him in Texas and say, you go around and find that silver dollar. And this blind man is walking around the whole state of Texas, and they're saying the probability of just 8 of those scriptures to come true would be like this blind man going down to Texas, walking, taking his hand down, going like this, picking up and saying, look, there's the marked silver dollar. That is just 8 prophecies. The Bible prophesied about 456 prophecies of Christ. You will never find another book out there that's this way. I'll give you a few other ones. You know the Bible in the book of Job? You can write this down and check it out. In Job chapter 26 and verse 7, the Bible says the earth is held on nothing. Do you know there was times where people thought there was Atlas or other that was holding up, there had to be something was holding up this earth? That was written in the book of Job. You know in the book of Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 22, it says ultimately that the earth is like a circle. Do you know at one time there was people, even when Christopher Columbus was sailing the ocean blue, when he came across, he knew that we could get to the other side that was there, and he came across. But you know, people told him, they were scared. You go back and look in writings and history, and they told him they shouldn't go. You know why? Because they thought the earth was flat. Sometimes you'll hear that where they mock people and say, you know, there are people that think the earth is flat. It wasn't Bible believers that did that because the Bible says the earth wasn't. But they told him he should be afraid. Why? Because he was going to get to a certain place and then what? Fall off because the earth was flat. You know, one of the popes himself, who they claim is infallible, said that the earth is flat. That shows you he is not. Amen. No hope in the pope. Amen. But the Bible says it's a circle. You know, in the book of Leviticus chapter 12 and verse 11, it talks about the life is in the blood. You remember our first president that we ever had, George Washington, was a great man. From what I have written about him, and I'm sure he wouldn't take half the things that we're seeing today. But you know, when George Washington died, he had sickness. You know what they did to him? At that time, back in the 1800s, they were thinking, because that's, I think it was, 1800s, late, it would have been late 17th century, 1800s, something like that. I think he died in, 18-something? I can't remember. Early 1800s, I think it was. Richie was born then, amen, so he would know. But anyway, you know what they did to some people when they got them sick? They took blood out of them. They thought that would help them. Well, some people say it may have been the reason why he died, and some people not. But the reality is, if they were to read the Bible, Jesus said what? Life is in the blood. Do you know this Bible talks about air has weight? In the book of Job, chapter 28 and verse 25. Now again, this was written over 1,500 years ago. Actually, even longer, almost 3,500 years ago. In there it says, the weight of the winds. Well, how is that important? It wasn't discovered until the 17th century. The weight has, there's weight in wind. You know, kids will go to, and they have some of the science things that they do. They teach kids this. I don't know if the young people did it or not. But what they'll do is they'll take a ruler. You know, you have a ruler and you put a ruler across here. And what you do is you take a balloon and blow up. And you tie it, right? You put a string, you tie it here. And you, on this roller, you have something that's here. On the other side, you take a balloon, you blow up the same thing, and you tie it, and you put it there. And what happens is, make sure it's the same, amen? It'll balance. Go out on YouTube. You can find anything on YouTube, amen? Good stuff, something real bad. Get away with it, amen? But it'll be a balance there. Do that. YouTube, do it, amen? You're going to go home, you're going to search. Does air have weight? And after you do this, it'll be there. And then I saw this because I went on YouTube and looked myself, amen? And ultimately, there was a guy that took and put a little hole in the balloon. Just a little hole. Right? He didn't put a big one because he put a big one, that thing would fly all around, right? Put a little hole. And you know what happened with the one that was here? Well, how is that possible? Because air,
there's weight. We didn't find it as a society to the 1700s. But in the book of Job, before, think about Jesus Christ even walked on this earth. Think about it, almost 3,500 years ago, it was recorded in Scripture. How is that possible? Unless this is the very words of God. Matter of fact, there's other places you can go through the book of Job. Do you know that it talks about that there's rivers down in the bottom of the ocean? That was founded. Matter of fact, when people go across the sea, when they come across, they actually have kind of like how we have roads now. They have things recorded where they can get people onto different there's things that call paths in the sea where people go in those areas. Why? Because it goes faster. Amen. What was that? I don't know. It was a cartoon, but do you remember the cartoon? It was Emo. Amen. When you think about it, what it had the one thing that was there. Amen. I know it's a cartoon. Cartoons do lie. Amen. But that is true. Amen. There is little paths. Amen. There are springs of water. What I'm telling you is this. How is that possible that this Bible wrote those things? And it's true. Unless it's the very words of God. Can I tell you, I can go on and on and on, and I won't this morning. Because I think you got the point. Amen. This Bible is true. And when this Bible says there is no way to heaven but through Jesus Christ, it is true. Let's close the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this time that you have allowed me to preach. And Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, I'm thankful that we have the very words of God, that there's no errors. Lord, that we can trust it. And thank you for the scriptures that we can go to and how it encourages our heart and shows us the truth of salvation. Lord, I pray this invitation time that people would respond as you have dealt on their heart. Lord, we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. With eyes closed and no one looking, if you're able to stand. If you...